the power and the weakness of the video game business. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Video game makers are facing a new threat, and it is not parents limiting screen time. Big video game publisher Electronic Arts reported disappointing quarterly results this week, and it blamed in part Fortnite. Now, that is a free game that even has Netflix nervous. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, what is going on here?
Well, Fortnite has become a cultural phenomenon. Some parents would say an addictive phenomenon. Players interact, they fight each other. That free part you mentioned is important, although you can pay for extras like costumes or dances for your character. Fortnite is really eating into the earnings of companies like Electronic Arts or EA. EA's most popular games are full priced, about $60, but it is exploring free to play too.
But what's driving Fortnite's success?
It started holding live virtual events, like a concert last week by the DJ Marshmello. It only lasted about 10 minutes, but it apparently attracted a huge audience. Wired cited one unsubstantiated estimate of 10 million.
Yikes. Now, that is big enough to scare the video streaming company Netflix, apparently.
Right. Netflix wrote a letter to shareholders last month under the heading Competition. Netflix wrote, quote, "We compete with and lose to Fortnite more than HBO.
Nancy, thank you. To parry the next recession, does the U.S. need another government stimulus so near to the stimulus of the tax overhaul? Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, frequently contributes here, but there she was arguing for stimulus of a special kind on the op-ed page of the New York Times this week. She joins us from Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that was counterintuitive, your piece in the Times. I mean, you've often told me that you thought Washington borrows way too much and is a profligate spender.
Yeah, it is. It's something that I think is really important to understand is investing in upgrading and repairing our crumbled infrastructure would boost productivity growth and better unite and bridge the gap between rural and urban America.
Well, President Trump agrees with you if you heard his State of the Union address, but it's sort of like the old joke about no one is for potholes. Everyone is for filling potholes, but they just can't agree on how to pay for it.
What's important about that is that those long-term investments really fundamentally can change our growth trajectory going forward. And it's one of the few things that governments have to do because they have a public good to them. And you can't just have a toll road over every bridge that's crumbled to pay for it in the private sector.
And you couched your argument in the paper as one way of fending off the next recession. You're a little bit worried about that?
I am, because what we've done is we've set ourselves off to fall off a fiscal cliff. Not only did we have the tax cuts from 2018, we also increased federal spending through fiscal year 2019, which ends September 30th of this year. If we cannot agree on a budget, we have the risk of falling off a cliff in terms of federal spending at a critical time when the economy is already going to be weakening as we move into 2020.
Many a Thursday, we talked to Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Theft of that valuable commodity, copper, is an expensive pain in the glutes, and sometimes we just leave copper sitting there. Marketplace Hub reporter Peggy Lowe of KCUR in Kansas City reports.
this winter morning, along a slice of U.S. Highway 71 in South Kansas City, a lane is closed to traffic and a large white truck moves in next to a 45-foot light pole. Derek Olson is a traffic engineer with the Missouri Department of Transportation, or MoDOT.
And the guys will get in the bucket to go up in the air so they can make the connections at the top of the light pole.
This crew is replacing copper wire that was ripped out of the bottom of these poles by thieves looking for quick cash. This morning, crews are stringing the wire up high where the thieves can't get it.
So they drag the line along the ground and then they go to both sides and they lift it up in the air and attach it at the top of the pole.
Olson says MoDOT spent $1 million last year fixing the many streetlights that were broken by copper thieves. Frank Scafidi with the National Insurance Crime Bureau says widespread copper theft was first noticed during the Great Recession when copper prices were high.
These metals in so many places, not just homes, but commercial institutions, public facilities, street lighting, airport runway lighting, all of these things were affected by a simple theft of copper.
It's tough to put a figure on the losses, but the U.S. Department of Energy estimates that stealing $100 worth of copper can cause a utility $5,000 worth of damage. The motivation moves with the market. The price of scrap copper was more than $4 a pound in 2011, and it's about half that today. In response, lawmakers have targeted scrap dealers who buy the metal.
Our business is straightforward, honest. We have a great customer base, like I said.
Sanford Levine, owner of KC Iron and Metal, recently testified before the Kansas City Council. It passed limits on who dealers can buy from. Back on U.S. Highway 71, MoDOT is trying other fixes too, like using braided copper wire so it's harder to cut through, or lines made from aluminum, which isn't so valuable. In Kansas City, I'm Peggy Lowe for Marketplace.
And there is news this morning that BB&T Bank of North Carolina will buy SunTrust of Georgia for $28 billion in stock. The headquarters goes to Charlotte, but large operations will stay in Atlanta and Winston-Salem. This forms the sixth largest bank in the U.S., and the plan is to change the name, but it's not clear to what. In these mergers, who's the boss is always a big deal. In this case, the BB&T CEO will run the outfit until late 2021, and then the SunTrust boss takes over. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.